You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Get much tougher. We're getting weak and soft with a lot of the Democrat-run cities, and you're not seeing this. You take a look at the cities. The top 10 are Democrat-run. The top 25 are, I think, almost all Democrat-run, and their policies are horrible. They've taken respect away from police officers. They've degraded them.
September the 15th, 2020. The words of President Trump this morning, appearing on Fox and Friends via audio, and talking about the constant encouragement to hate cops that's going on in the nation right now. We have moved past trying to reform and make sure that police have proper training. And, of course, some of the training also needs to be directed to those who don't understand police instructions to stop, stand still, show me your hands. And some of that goes right back to the family. We'll deal with that some other day. But let's just deal with right now with the attacks on cops as they're doing the best job they can under increasingly difficult situations. I have no problem with going after police officers who exceed their authority. But to label every cop, every law enforcement officer, a threat, you're wrong. And once you move to that level, then you start looking at hating all cops, regardless of the color of the police officer, regardless of their gender, regardless of maybe their sexual preference. The left doesn't take any of that into account right now, not when you look at the hardline Antifa push to defund cities' police department budgets. And what they really want is to abolish police. And I will point out again, when you begin to defund a police department and you take the money out, the minority communities are going to be the ones suffering the most, the very most. We're going to get into that as we go through the next 2 hours. And at one point, I'm going to ask you to put yourself in the shoes of a law enforcement officer. What would you do? Would you be willing to take what is happening in front of you? What would you be willing to do when you see that the attacks are going to continue to increase? What would you do? Some of you listening, many of you listening, I know, are in law enforcement. I hear from you constantly. I see you on the streets. Many can't listen live. They end up listening to the podcast, but I know you're there, and I have great respect for what you're facing right now. And you know yourself, there are cases where officers did not do things as they should have. And it may or may not be an issue involving just a reprimand or criminal charges. But for the rest of you, I want you to put yourself in the shoes of a law enforcement officer, and you tell me how you would handle some things. That'll be coming up. Also, Biden now calling Trump an arsonist, flat out calling Donald Trump an arsonist because of all the fires. In the meantime, California Governor Newsom, the state where you would expect some of the worst words to be said about Trump, Governor Newsom is praising Trump for what he's doing to help them battle the wildfires in California. Also, an update on Hurricane Sally, slowly advancing to the Gulf Coast, life-threatening storm surge. This is going to be a dangerous storm. It has slowed down so much, there'll be massive flooding. Target right now, Mississippi, Louisiana. Today is something very big going on in the White House. President Trump presiding over historic deals between Israel, United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain. Another reason for a Nobel Prize nomination, and the left won't like that. Also, word that a vaccine for COVID might be very, very close, but now Dems on the left are saying, well, we wouldn't trust it. They wanted a vaccine, now they say wouldn't trust it. And we're also going to have a guest in the second hour talking about how the left is setting up for a coup. Setting up to carry out a coup if Biden loses and Trump wins. And then a couple of other items where a high school teacher decides it's okay to distribute a cartoon featuring the KKK and linking today's police and law enforcement to the KKK. Thought it was just fine to send that out with the students. The hate is escalating. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in, assess the situation at a very reasonable cost, and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
And we're down, we go,
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You let your...
My heart goes out to my prayers. But when you watch that video, that 31-year-old deputy, a mother of a 6-year-old, a former librarian who just passed the academy a year ago, shot through the jaw. You can't even quite hear as she calls in. Not only is she treating her other deputy, she's looking out to see if the shooter is coming back with blood across her face. But you know what is most telling to me? Is my U.S. Senator, Kamala Harris, the former Attorney General of California, the top cop, as people would call her, has said nothing, has not stood up against this.
Those are the words of the GOP House Minority Leader, Kevin McCarthy, Republican, California. Calling out his fellow Californian, Senator Kamala Harris, of course, who's running on the Biden ticket to be VP, has not said word one, not one word, about the cold-blooded ambush of two L.A. sheriff's deputies. Not one word. How do you explain that? See, here's the issue we're facing, and this is going to ignite a bigger Trump win than maybe folks were expecting if you continue to let this happen, and there's violence in the streets, and it's encouraged and pushed and incited by Democrats by either their acts and or their silence. How can she be a vice presidential candidate? And the shooting, the ambush takes place in her own state, and she has nothing to say. Not even my prayers are with the families. See, because she's afraid that if she kind of says something like that, well, some of the left, some of the radical left supporting her might decide, whoa, she's getting soft. We're not going to have her. We don't know about now if she's a good person or not. Am I Am I too blasé, too ignorant? Am I too crass to suggest she would be looking at it from a political viewpoint? And is it the fault at my end, Brutus, or hers? You heard Congressman McCarthy talking about the 31-year-old deputy who was shot, a mother of six. He mentioned she was a former librarian. Her name is Claudia Apollinar. I hope I pronounced it correct. A 31-year-old mother to a 6-year-old boy. She and her partner who were in the car with her that date, a 24-year-old deputy, had just both been sworn in maybe 14 months ago. Before she became a police officer, she was a librarian. And for some reason, and we haven't heard from her directly on that, but for some reason she decided, I need to do something to help my community, and I want to do more than just be a librarian. And honestly, when you assign someone a position, you don't really want to put new cops, new officers, rookie officers, especially two in the same vehicle. And if you have to, then you don't really want to put them in a high-crime area. You want to put them in an area where they might be needed, but it's not going to be an emergency situation most of the time. Most of the time. So that's probably why the two of them were in the vehicle at the transit system, watching over the transit system at a metro center in Compton. And Compton has a lot of issues, obviously, but they thought it would be okay for some reason. Someone decides it's okay to send them there, that they're going to be okay, and they won't encounter anything that they can't handle as they're just beginning. They are rookie officers, both of them. Well, of course, violence, we know, can break out anywhere, but you're better qualified, you're more experienced officers in the most dangerous sections, because they've either faced it before or you think they would have the judgment to carry out things. Well, here's how her judgment went down. What she did, as they were sitting there, and the gunman just simply walks up and opens fire, ambushing them. She still was able to make a call to the police dispatcher. She stumbles out of the vehicle. She goes around and gets her partner out. He was behind the wheel, and gets him behind a column of a building nearby. And she continues to kind of watch to see if the shooter's coming back. Now, I told you yesterday both were hit in the head. They were. Her bullet, the main bullet to her head, hit her jaw. So it's very hard for her to talk. Her speech is slurred when she's making her call to dispatcher. And they're having a very hard time understanding what she's saying. Other officers on the channel began to pick up what it is, and they understand, and they relay. The younger officer, the 24-year-old deputy, he took a shot that appears, obviously, to the forehead. Can't tell if it was a grazing shot or what. This female officer shot not only in the face with the jaw, but also shot in the upper torso several times. And they are calling her an absolute hero. Her father relaying the story of what police told him happened. And also police verifying it. One officer, a lieutenant, said to have the wherewithal to get yourself out of the vehicle and the line of fire in case it continues, but then to take care of your partner, initiate radio traffic, make sure the civilians in the area are safe. It shows a lot about her courage and intestinal fortitude. 14 months ago, she finished her training, and just before that, she was a librarian. Thank God for people like her who are willing to step forward and stand in the line. In the next hour, I am going to play her audio call. I'm not going to do it this hour. I've got other things I need to cover, but we're going to do it the next hour. It will be hard to hear. I mean, hard because of difficulty in the transmission and what she's trying to say, but also hard to hear when you realize what she's going through at that time. But there's no doubt that she was a hero. They're both in critical condition, but both expected to survive. As far as the long-term injuries, we're not sure. Oh, by the way, I should also point out, she even applied a tourniquet to the wounds of her other officer. She didn't know if the guy's coming back. Got them out of the car, got to an area where they'd be protected. One statement I want to share with you. You know Dan Bongino. He put out on his tweet account, and I want to read this to you, talking about the pictures of the officer, the female officer standing behind the column helping her wounded male officer. He said, look at this, stare at this, don't forget this. This is the result of a rotting culture where deranged lunatics tell our kids the cops are the bad guys and the bad guys are the good guys. Something's got to give. Again, Congressman McCarthy, he says clearly what we have right now is a culture that is encouraging cop hate.
When you go across the country saying you should defund the police, when you watch the videos of those who are sitting by laughing as those police officers were shot, not caring for them, not helping them, when they were just sitting in a car protecting a community, it's appalling and disgusting to me. This is what is transpiring if we allow this Democrat policy to continue. This is why we need to do something different.
We do need to do something different, first by putting a stop to that attitude. And we have to have more on the left speak out against it. And I don't mean just say, well, we do send our blessings and our concern, which is a start. But they're so wrapped up now in that we make more points with some of the voters we want if we side with those who are against law enforcement and defunding police or even getting rid of them. And McCarthy mentioned something that I was going to say earlier, but I wanted you to hear it from him direct. He said, and I'm going to quote from him, direct from what you just heard. There are those caught on video, quote, who are sitting by laughing as the police officers were shot, not caring for them, not helping them. In other words, several who were a witness to the shooting, watching the officer stumble to get out of the car and trying to get behind cover and protection. Laughing, jeering, thinking it's all fun and games. And we know there were those who showed up at the emergency room, the emergency room entrance, shouting out, F the cops. I hope they effing die. I have many friends who are Democrats by label and more liberal than me. We're still friends. And I know they are obviously upset in cases where maybe force was used unnecessarily and the shooting of a man, black, white, yellow, makes no difference. If it's an unjustified shooting, it's unjustified. It's not based on color. If it's a justified shooting, it's not based on color. It's based on the facts of the case. But my liberal Democrat friends also recognize what we're seeing happen now is always a rush to judgment that it has to be the cop is wrong. Now, in this case, this shooting, they can't really say, and I'm not saying my friends would say it, but those on the left can't say the cops did something wrong. They were just sitting in the car. But the attacks on law enforcement are increasing. We told you, I mentioned yesterday, after the Ferguson shooting of Michael Brown, two officers sitting in a parked car in New York City were doing nothing. But someone who had been agitated and felt encouraged by the wrath and the noise made over the Michael Brown case walked up and gunned them down, killing both. And then the other day in St. Louis, a police shooting. An officer involved shooting that ended in a death. But there were no Black Lives Matter protesters on this one. Because the officer was killed and the officer was the black person involved in the shooting. He was arriving to answer a 911 call, got ambushed, shot as he arrived. And to the cop haters, they don't see any color. They just see the badge and the COP on your chest or your back, and they consider that's a target. And then those who, in addition to the cowards who carry out the attack, the scum that follow around yelling, "I hope you effing die." No, most Democrats are not going to support this. They don't support it. But they're also afraid to speak out right now, and that's a shame that you won't stand up and speak out on it. We're going to deal with this in more detail in the next hour, and I'm going to put you in the shoes of a cop before we're done. We'll take a break. I want to come back and tell you about a possible COVID vaccine.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. You cry all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So we've been told that we will not really get back to normal in this country until we have a vaccine for COVID. And the push has been underway, the rush worldwide to find a vaccine. President Trump in an interview today said, we have Operation Warp Speed. Otherwise, you wouldn't have a vaccine for years. I've speeded up the process with the FDA. We're going to have a vaccine in a matter of weeks. It could be 4 weeks. It could be 8 weeks. We have a lot of great companies. And he says, I'm not pushing it for political reasons. I just simply want it fast. Well, of course, nowadays everything is considered political. And immediately several Democrats, as the president made that remark, started casting doubt on the safety of a potential vaccine if it's being accelerated. Biden and his VP candidate, Harris, already expressing concerns about potential political pressure they say could lead to a vaccine being approved too early. There are folks who won't believe in any vaccine we have. They're anti-vaxxers, and we have various flu vaccines every year. I haven't had one for probably a decade or more. I've been fine, not saying it's going to be the same the next time. But here they are. They've been saying, get something done. Trump has to do something. And he says, we're pushing forward with it. So Harris, VP candidate Harris, said, I would not take Trump's word for it. I want to see what the scientists said. Well, obviously, the scientists are going to be involved with the FDA in approving it. And the FDA. I don't know if it's going to come in that time. And yes, we want to make sure it's safe. But let me share this with you. Scientists at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine say they have isolated and discovered an antibody that neutralizes the virus that causes COVID-19. They say it's the smallest biological molecule, 10 times smaller than a full-size antibody. They are using it to create a drug, and they're using it in tests. It could be a potential preventative against SARS, COVID, and others. They say we're thinking outside the box how to administer. It may be inhaled or a superficial injection, 7 IV, whatever exactly they mean by that. But they think it's going to be, well, in fact, they say it's been highly effective in preventing and treating infections in mice, hamsters. It doesn't bind to human cells, which suggests it will not have any negative effects on people. That's the University of Pittsburgh, along with working with a team at the University of Texas Medical Branch Center and others. If they could come up with something like that, that actually would be beneficial and would not bind to the human antibodies, or human cells, I should say, and possibly lead to any side effects, that'd be great. There's clearly an effort all around the world to do something to come up with it as fast as possible. But I get the impression from the Democrats, if it's done here in this United States of America and delivered from here in our companies, they won't trust it. Maybe if it comes from China, they'll buy it. Maybe they'll like it then. And China's been using some kind of vaccine and then ordering people to take it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear the voice of presidential candidate now, Joe Biden, calling the current president basically an arsonist. Yeah, once again, let's find a way to politicize a natural disaster.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
This is another crisis. Another crisis he won't take responsibility for. If you give a climate arsonist 4 more years in the White House, why would anyone be surprised if we have more America ablaze? If you give a climate denier 4 more years in the White House, why would anyone be surprised when more of America is underwater? Hurricanes don't swerve to avoid red states or blue states. Wildfires don't skip towns that voted a certain way. The impacts of climate change don't pick and choose.
Those are the words of Joe Biden in a cornfield. And possibly reading from a teleprompter. Blaming President Trump for the wildfires across the West right now. And the Hurricane Sally coming ashore. It's more political rhetoric, obviously. Because even if Trump had come in and did exactly what every green enthusiast wanted from day one, the so-called climate change wouldn't change that dramatically in the last 4 years. You know that, and I know that. They're hoping that you don't know that. And for Trump to be in office another 4 years still isn't going to do anything to change climate change. Oh, well, we had the Paris Accord. He could have signed that. We could do more of this, do that. Is that going to change the world climate in 4 years? You know better than that. Give me a break. What I will agree that Biden said correctly is that a forest fire and a hurricane don't recognize blue-red states or blue-red cities. That's true. Nothing to do with that being blue or red. But, what does happen, and it has happened in California, and they acknowledged it, some of their blue policies have basically set things in motion for when a fire hits, it's going to be nasty. I'm not blaming the Democrats for the fire, and yes, by the way, there have been some people arrested for charged with setting some of these fires, but mostly lightning, and once you get those sparks and embers in the air, they find another spot that's ready to be torched, and then it starts a new blaze. But some of their policies have, in fact, added to it of not clearing underbrush and so forth. And the governor of California has also admitted that, by the way. Where we stand right now, we have 4.6 million acres and 87 large fires across 10 states. At least 35 killed in California, Oregon, and Washington. And the smoke and the fog beyond these fires is keeping temperatures cooler in some areas, but it's ongoing catastrophe, reduced visibility, high risk of smoke inhalation, and those already worried about COVID and having trouble breathing, it's getting worse for them. Oregon itself has 16 large fires, 878,000 acres on blaze, 13 fires in Washington State with 676,000. Some 8,600 firefighters are doing the best they can in those two states. Well, yesterday, President Trump made a visit to California to talk to the governor, Governor Newsom. And they had decided and acknowledged that we're not going to spend our time debating climate change and things of this nature. Let's focus on the here and now, what's needed, how it's being addressed. And they were basically, you know, they're playing nice. But more importantly, my friend, they're doing the things they need to be doing at that point. What do you need? What can I get for you? And are we doing enough? And for the governor to say yes or no. And the governor, which you probably will not see this happen on the mainstream media, Democrat Governor Gavin Newsom, who's often ostracized, criticized, and slandered by those on the right, offered praise to President Trump as they were meeting. Listen to this exchange.
It's great to have you back here in the state, Mr. President. Thank you for being here in particular with two of the Coast Guard aircrafts that we're now bringing into the California family that are being retrofitted, these C-130s. Just an example, another example of the partnership between the federal government and the state of California. There's over 16,500 firefighters currently out in the lines, and I'm very pleased and I'm very grateful, Mr. President, that you're recognizing some of the other heroes, those National Guard men and women that did an extraordinary job saving the lives of hundreds and hundreds of people stranded with some of these most intense fires. I want to thank you and acknowledge the work that you've done to be immediate in terms of your response to our FMAG request.
The words of Gavin Newsom, Governor Newsom, praising President Trump. And there'll be some on the left probably upset with him doing that. But it won't really be played that much on the mainstream media. They'll try to get around it. But he's being honest. He said, I thank you for the help we got. Thank you for that. He did the same thing during COVID when a hospital ship was put off the coast of California for any COVID patient help they needed, as did Governor Cuomo at that time in New York when a hospital was put off the shore of New York City in cases needed. It's two leaders with opposing views, certainly when it comes to climate change, coming together and say, that's an argument for another day. Let's deal with what we have here. And are we doing what we need to for the people? Not for political gains or losses and arrows and attacks. What are we doing? What need to be doing for the people? I'm more than glad to praise Governor Newsom for what he said. These fires along the West Coast, now have generated so much smoke. The haze is showing over parts of the Midwest. Well, the St. Louis area, you're beginning to see a little bit more hazy skies. And it's showing up in New York City and New England. This will be adding to days with tough, breathable air for many across the nation. Now, most of it's high enough not to cause air quality issues, but give kind of a milky or hazy appearance in the sky, but it's there. And being carried by the jet stream up to New York City and New England. And already in those immediate areas, Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Vancouver even, they're rating their air quality as hazardous. And again, not only for people, but for wildlife. Now, this is a serious issue. Make no mistake about it. But to sit in a cornfield as Biden did and call Trump an arsonist, a climate change arsonist, as if he could have, as if he were to directly responsible for what's happening now, you can't do that. You cannot solve, quote, climate change issues that you have. I don't care what you think of the climate change or global warming. You can't do it in 4 years. You can't do it in 8 years. It is a long-term thing. And yes, you could say, well, we need to start with Trump, start it now, and he's doing things against us. Well, the other problem is sometimes those who are buying into this climate change are buying some fake science. You can find scientists on both sides of the fence. I want our world preserved for my grandchildren and their grandchildren and their grandchildren. Certainly, we all want that. But we also don't want to throw people out of work and shut industries down just because we're going to rapidly make things better, because you won't rapidly make things better. I need to give you a couple moments here to point out that President Trump is presiding over historic deals being signed at the White House today between Israel and two Gulf nations. Of course, we had the deal announced last month between Israel and the United Arab Emirates, and they started commercial flights back and forth. And then Friday, Bahrain said it wants to sign on with Israel. The president says we're going to have peace in the Middle East. Also, Israel, Bahrain, and UAE will sign a trilateral document. Normalizing relations and everything from air travel to establishment of embassies and securities that could lead to future deals with Oman, Sudan, Morocco, others. And, of course, when the first deal was announced, let me put it this way. When Trump got into North Korea and started talks there, well, one of the Nobel Prize, Peace Prize nominators suggested that Trump should get it for the North Korean breakthrough. He didn't, and of course the left said that's stupid. And now the same guy is nominating Trump again for a Nobel Peace Prize for the first time, just getting Israel and UAE together, and now Bahrain, others are stepping forward. He might end up getting a Nobel Peace Prize. He's certainly been doing and working at it, he and his staff, whether you like it or not, and I know many on the left don't. There's a story that I've been holding back. I've had so many things in front of it every day. I've got to give you some time on that coming up after this break, and that is how some of these cell phones held by FBI and DOJ personnel just suddenly had material wiped clean.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors.
Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You know, almost every weekend I'm pulling material and can't wait for Monday, and then Monday gets here and I have to put that aside and put something else in, so I try to carry it the next day and then have to put it aside again. Well, I want to get to this before we get too much deeper into this week, and that is some questions about supposedly accidental wiping of cell phones. The mobile devices of several folks on former special counsel Robert Mueller's team during the Russian probe suddenly accidentally wiped information off their phones, all their contacts and so forth, and their text messages. Newly released records from the Justice Department showed at least several dozen phones belonging to members of Mueller's team wiped of information. And they explain it, well, we forgot a passcode. I tried to open my phone three different times, and it just all shut down. Everything got wiped out. Or I had some kind of screen damage, so you can't really see anything. Or I lost the phone. I don't know what happened to it. All kinds of reasons before the Justice Department and Inspector General's office could review their devices. Because the Inspector General's office of the Justice Department said, let's take a look at this Mueller investigation, how it was put together, who was doing what. And now it appears that supposedly some of those targeting Trump and trying to do the tie with him to Russia, their phones are just, well, lost it. I shut it down. It's all the information. House Intel Committee ranking member Devin Nunes of California said, what an amazing coincidence that these professional investigators kept accidentally wiping their phones. You'd think these people could come up with a more believable excuse for hiding evidence. According to the documents, Mueller's deputy, quote, accidentally wiped his phone twice after entering the passcode too many times. And one of the lawyers involved, he said, my phone wiped itself without me doing anything. And others say, yeah, my phone got wiped out because I entered the wrong password. So there's a tip for you. You want to hide something in the future, you might have incriminating on your cell phone, hit the password wrong three times, it'll shut it down and wipe it, I guess. Can it be retrieved? I don't know. But that just, again, for those of you who thought Trump was making a lot out of nothing, suggesting that there was a hit job, that kind of raises that question again and adds legitimacy for it, doesn't it? And Trump had pointed out in a tweet, September 12th, alert, so now we find out that the entire Mueller, quote, hit squad, as he's calling them, illegally wiped their phones clean just prior to the investigation of them, all of them using the really dumb same reason for this, quote, accident, just like crooked Hillary smashing her phones with a hammer and deleting her emails. Yep, remember that? Staffers were out in the driveway with a hammer busting up some of the cell phones, but they said, well, we don't want any information, secure information, to get accidentally released. Hey, if you buy those stories, good for you. Yeah, you can sell the story collusion about Trump and everything all you want. I don't care. But how can you possibly ignore those cases? If you're being truly honest and unbiased, can you really ignore those or just say they're all coincidence? What a coinky dinky. Oh, by the way, Kamala Harris, I've told you when she signed on to become the VP, she didn't really sign up to be vice president. She signed up to be president. She's there so when Joe stumbles or is shoved aside, she will be ready. And she may be pushing a little sooner, Joe. You better watch your back. She was at a virtual roundtable with small business owners in Arizona. And the California senator said, here are her words, I thought it was a Biden administration. Well, she quickly caught it. She said, a Harris administration, together with Joe Biden as president of the United States, the Biden-Harris administration will provide access to $100 billion in low-interest loans and investments from minority and business owners. That was a little Freudian slip. No, I think it tells us her plan. The Daily Callers pointed out, uh-oh, Kamala, you weren't supposed to say that part out loud. Editor-in-chief for another publication said, Joe better hire a food taster. She did. She said, a Harris administration, together with Joe Biden as president of the United States, and then quickly clarified, the Biden-Harris administration. Oh, she's got her sights set on that gold ring. Oh, the Oval Office. Joe, stuck out in the farm field? Next hour, back to some more serious content as well. A little bit more about the Mideast peace deal. I did want to spend a little bit more time on it. And also, I'm going to put you in the shoes of a police officer, law enforcement officer. You tell me how you would react. And I've got a guest, a writer, the poli science editor for The Federalist, says the left is setting the stage for a coup. If Trump wins, he will explain next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.